The Indiana Basketball Stores Podcast. Back, your host Trevor Andershock. I'll be joined today by Jeff Shanley once again. We're heading into the Shark Tank to talk about the top teams and top players heading into the 2018-2019 Indiana high school basketball season. At this time, let's bring in the Shark.
Good to be back. Good to have the basketball season around the corner this week, and looking forward to it, Trevor.
It's a little interesting with the cold weather. Early cold weather makes it feel like it's mid-season already, Shark.
Yeah, I'm ready for the Marion County tournament any day now.
Oh, man. Really jumping ahead. Okay. All right, Shark, let's get started then.
All right, we're going to start off. Let's take a look at some of the best teams that we think can really do some damage and be in contention for a postseason run this year. We'll start off in 1A, where I think consensus is that the prohibitive favorite this year has to be Blackhawk Christian out of Fort Wayne.
Yeah, when you look at the guys they're bringing back with Frankie Davidson and Caleb Furst, that's a lot of size and a lot of skill to contend with. Even at the 4A level, Shark, those two would be able to push a team to a good record and probably a postseason run even at that level.
Yeah, it'd be interesting for me to see how they react with Jalen Mull not there. The graduated point guards now at St. Francis. He was kind of the guy who made them go. He could push it. He could get Davidson shot. He could get first easy buckets. Without him, there's going to have to be somebody that can help set those two up. I think it's a lot to ask because those two are going to have a lot of attention put on them by opposing defenses.
Yeah, Mull was the ultimate playmaker. Great passer and so quick it could get into the middle of a defense and create for those two. So like you're saying, it's going to be a little bit different for those two, but obviously they have the potential to carry teams by themselves.
Yeah, if you have a no doubt high major player at the 1A level, you're going to walk into any game knowing you've got a really good shot.
Especially at 6'8", like Caleb Furst is. He can play inside, mobile, outside, good athlete. Yeah, he's going to be a handful, that's for sure.
Staying up north, the Central Catholic Knights, led by Carson Barrett, have made some runs here. They went to the state finals Carson's freshman year 2 years ago, and now he's a junior. He's really kind of a point forward that can really, really pass the basketball.
Yeah, we were just talking about Jalen Mull graduating as one of the best passers. Carson Barrett is probably the best passer left in the state right now. Really good at the look-ahead pass, throwing it down the court, and the ultra-long 30 or 40-foot passes he executes with great precision, Shark. Nearly averaged a triple-double as a sophomore last year, but it's going to be interesting. He's going to have to carry the offensive load even more this season, especially scoring, and he's improved his three-point shot a lot over the years. I think he's ready to take that next step as a scorer as well. It's going to be a weird feeling for LCC when the postseason comes around. They aren't the sectional defending champs any longer, Shark, when Southwood beat them last year.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's going to be interesting is when they made that state run, Barrett was not really called on to score. He was purely almost a setup guy. He could take it off the glass and start a break, but he wasn't called on to get 15 to 18 points a night, and now they're going to need that from him. So how does that extra defensive attention come on, and does he have the crew around him to step up and take some of that scoring load off?
Yeah, that's a big key for LCC. Obviously, Barrett's going to be able to carry him through a lot of games, but against those top teams in the Lafayette area and then in the tournament, he's going to need a supporting cast around him, Sharp.
Heading down to Southern Indiana, it feels like we talk about this team every year, and for good reason. The Barrie Vikings, a mainstay when you're talking about 1A state title contenders.
Yeah, no doubt. And when you have a duo like Gabe Gladish and Keegan O'Neill, you got an inside player in O'Neill who's powerful, can overpower guys, score in the paint, and then step out for a three-pointer here and there. And then Gladish, obviously a really good shooter. He'll pull from anywhere. And I think he'll even step up more as a scorer this year when a few key guys graduated. But like you said, Barrie year in, year out, one of the top 1A teams in the state, Shark.
Yeah, and somebody like O'Neill just poses so many problems for 1A schools, because if you put most 1A schools, you're looking at a 6'3", unathletic, just the biggest kid you got. He's going to be able to take them outside and do some damage, and if you put a smaller guy on him that can keep with him on the perimeter, he's going down the block and doing damage down there. So, and then you saw with Gabe Gladish on the perimeter being able to score. I think those two are, we talked about Davidson and first at Blackhawk. I think O'Neill and Gladish are probably just a step below that, but still a really good 1-2 punch.
Yeah. Some in Southern Indiana really like Ligoti as well, Shark. They got Silas Bauer. He's a guy who could potentially match up with Keegan O'Neal and maybe at least contain him. He's got the size to, at least not be overpowered by O'Neal. So Ligoti's another team to watch down south, Shark.
Yep. We'll go even further south here. Evansville Day at the 1A level. Haven't talked about them much in the past, but they've got some real talent coming through the ranks down there.
But yeah, when you're talking about Evansville Day and you have a 7-footer basically in Noah Hoopman, that's going to be a difference maker at any level in high school. To boot, he's a really good shot blocker, rebounder, and has some skills that are really progressing. So I think he's going to have a breakout season. He was obviously pretty good for him last year. I expect him to be great this year, Shark. And then kind of his sidekick, Elijah Stewart, in the same 2020 class, good guard. He's always had great potential. I think he really breaks out as well this year, Shark, and I think Evansville Day has a big season in the class 1A.
Yeah, we'll stick with the inside-outside tandem. I know one you like here in the Indianapolis area is an international high school.
Yeah, obviously the big fella Mowich inside. I think he was something like 23 points and like 13 rebounds last year, Shark.
About three or four blocks a game, too.
Yeah, you just don't see, although we just talked about Hoopman and first, you just don't see guys in the 6'8 range very often for class A. And obviously, he's really good around the rim. So that's going to be tough. And then the sophomore, Jaden Thomas, he had a good freshman year. I think he's around 13.5 points per game as a freshman. Good athlete, especially for that level, gets into the paint. I think he increases his role and really takes over as well there, Shark. So watch out for international. Good coach, and Scott Adams taking over at international as well, Shark.
Staying in the area, we have a new entrant in the 1A state ranks, and that's out at Traders Point, which I believe is in their first season of IHSAA eligibility over there on the northwest side, just outside of Zionsville. But look for them to make their way into IHSAA play and make a run at that sectional too.
Yeah, that's in the same international sectional with University. Caldwell, the 6'5 forward there at Traders Point's a really good player, really under the radar, and he's got a great skill set, can play inside, outside, good athlete. So I think he could be a difference maker. I don't think anybody in that sectional can really match up with him. So watch out for Traders Point, now a IHSA team, Shark.
And we'll throw another one in there, heading up to the region and Gary 21st Century. I know you're very high on one of their wings, John L. Davis.
Yeah, again, I big time prospect because Class A is usually not known for D1 athletes, but he got offered by Northern Illinois earlier this fall. About 6'3", really good 15 feet in, Shark. Against scramble defenses, he loves to attack and score at the rim. He's been adding his outside shot. He started as a mid-range shooter, starting to extend that range to the three-point line now. I expect him to have just a monster scoring season, Shark.
Yeah, you don't find many players, like you said, the 1A level with his athleticism, but not only that, his aggression too. He's kind of going to take over that scoring role that Eugene German had there a few years ago, where you look for just monster numbers night in and night out for him. John L. probably be over 20 points a game this year, I would think.
Yeah, I think that'll be a given there, Shark, unless there's an injury or something. But yeah, I don't think there's going to be any problem for him scoring 20 points a night, Shark.
Okay, so for 1A, we've recapped some of the top teams. Who do you like? A couple top teams in the North and the South, potential semi-state matchups.
One team we just talked about, Gary 21st Century. I think they have enough talent to get pretty deep in the tournament here, Shark. Obviously, Blackhawk Christian, I think they're a given. I think LCC with Carson Barrett, I think he's enough to propel them deep in the north. Who would be my fourth team in the north in 1A?
We had Southwood come out of the North last year in 1A, but they get hit very hard by graduation. Dallas Holmes, the only returning, really the only returning contributor they had from last year's team, with the loss of Peyton Trexler and Carson Blair in the backcourt. So Southwood looks to probably take a step back heading into the 2018-2019 season.
You know, one team that could be a little bit of a surprise is another new team, Park Heritage, the combination of Turkey Run and Rockville. Landon Newman, big time scoring shooter. I mean, he could pull some upsets on his shooting alone there, Shark.
Yeah, I know some people are also talking, sticking in the same area of the state there, about North Vermilion. They're going to be playing in the state football championship this weekend. A lot of good athletes always coming out of that school. So look for them to potentially start slow this winter, coming off a football season. But by the time February comes around, the Falcons could be poised to make a run again.
Who are your top four 1A North teams? Are you sticking with the same guys,
I'm
or who are
like,
you?
I think the three we obviously talked about, Blackhawk, CC, and Gary 21st. I think those three are the kind of the head of the class up north. I think when you look at what some teams have lost and gained, there could be some real movement there. Like you said, Park Heritage and North Vermilion. I see those two as kind of being on the outside looking in. I think the state representative from the north in 1A is going to come from those three, though, with Blackhawk, CC, and Gary 21st.
Yeah, definitely. And then what about the South there, Shark? I think I would take Bar Reeve, Evansville Day. I really like them. I know Wood Memorial still has Paxson Bartley back, big time scorer, but I like Day with Hoopman a little bit more. Who else? Morristown. Obviously, we haven't talked about them very much, but
No.
Logan Lasser, big time player.
Yeah, had a triple double in the state championship game. They do lose Eli Strievel, who had a big state title game, and obviously Hayden Langcable, who's now at Marion University, was their main gun last year. Scott McClellan's going to have his guys ready to go. That's a basketball town. You know, the kids that are coming up from JV are going to be able to try and step into some of those roles that are left off. But again, Logan Laster is going to have a lot on his plate this year.
Yeah, definitely. How many have I made name from the South there, Shark? We got Bar
Bar
Reeve,
Reeve
Evansville Day,
Day.
Morristown, and then that would be.
Does that International Traders Point sectional go south?
Yeah, it does. So, along with them, the other Indianapolis sectional with Greenwood Christian also
Is that like
going south.
Lutheran?
Yeah, that's Lutheran, Tenley, Lighthouse South, Providence, Cristo Rey, Central Christian.
Greenwood Christian probably be pretty good.
Yeah, Green. I would probably go with Greenwood Christian. I don't know how to say his last name. Tim Adatutski. I don't know how to say it, but moving from
California.
California via England, has a D1 offer from North Dakota, so you know he's going to be an impact player. I think those are my four there, Shark. Evansville Day, Bar Reeve, Greenwood Christian, and Morristown.
I'm going to go Bar Reeve and Day. I think International comes out of that sectional and can do some damage there. And again, Greenwood Christian, we hit on them a little bit. Could be a sneaky team in there. I think, though, when you're looking at programs, the 1A South is going to go through Bar Reeve some way, somehow. Just with the tradition they've had, the talent they have, the coaching they have, I think all roads kind of point to them at 1A South, and everybody else is going to have to go through them before they get up to state.
Sounds good, Shark. Let's move up to 2A. I think this is going to be an interesting year at 2A. A lot of good, talented teams. Bowman back in the mix after a couple of years of not being able to play in the postseason. Who are some of the top teams you like, Shark?
I like Westview a lot. Elijah Hale and Charlie Yoder, obviously a very formidable 1-2 punch. They play kind of a, I don't want to say a unique style, but a very hard to guard style where all five guys can handle and pass. It's constant motion. It's very difficult, very taxing on defenses mentally just to keep up with it. And they'll be patient enough and wait for you to break down before they do anything. I think you look at Marquette Catholic too, Colin Kenny. Again, we talk about Division I caliber players at the 1A and 2A level. He's heading to Furman, averaged 22 a game last year. He's a guard that can get his own shot and is always looking to be in scoring mode
Yeah.
for the Blazers.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the best shooters in the class, I think. Off the dribble, pull back, step back, a little crossover rhythm three. Obviously, him and my cousin Joe Andershock think they're going to be the main two for Marquette this year. So if Marquette's going to get deep in the tournament like they did a few years back, where they made it to semi-state and then obviously 2 times to the state title game, with Ryan Fazekas, I think those two are going to have to carry him, Shark.
Yeah, speaking of teams that have been to the state finals in the past, state champion in 2A from a couple years ago, Frankton with Caden Key leading the way, but also you have Ryland Dentling, John Hartzell, Brayton Kane, a lot of guys who have played and stepped into big roles on good teams there. Now this is their last run. Does Frankton have one last run in them to get back to Banker's Life?
Yeah, I think we know what we're going to get out of Caden Key, 20 points a game, a few assists, some rebounds. Who's going to take that second spot that Landon Weans had last year, Shark? Is it going to be Dentley step up for about 13 a game? Who else is going to score for him, Shark?
Yeah, I mean that's an interesting thing. They lose Weans, a big time shooter for them, but you know it's
And
gonna.
shooting is one of their weaknesses last year. He was about one of the only ones. Key
Yeah.
will hit a shot, but really not a big time shooter.
John Hatzell is going to have to step up and be able to take pressure off of Ryland Dettling inside. Coach Brobson there runs that Princeton offense. They're going to be opportunistic and be able to hit you quickly with things. They're going to have different ways to get the ball into Keith's hands on different spots of the floor. So it's going to be interesting to see, again, a lot of attention paid to Key last year. It's going to be even more so this year with the loss of Weems. How do they respond there? Sticking with that same area, LaPel and then Shenandoah. Shenandoah is going to be young, starting three sophomore guards, but they were very, very good last year, did not lose very much to graduation.
Yeah, I know you're expecting a lot out of Andrew Bennett, aren't you, the sophomore guard?
Yeah, he averaged, I believe, just over 9 a game last year. Chase Kinsey, their leading scorer last year, graduate. Look for Bennett to jump up to that 15 point a game range. A very physical guard, a football player for them as well. He's a lot more physically developed at 6 foot, about 175, than you see at guards at that level. Then they'll also start Jacob Kinsey and Dave McCullough's son, Caden, at two other guards. All three of those guys can shoot. They can handle and pass. The question is, they're not going to be very big. Are they going to be able to consistently rebound enough against bigger, more athletic teams?
Yeah, one of those teams that they'll have to rebound against is Indianapolis House. Our Christoph Kendrick bringing in a bunch of new guys, trying to mold them together with Kai Washington, still there, the big time scorer, now a senior, loves to get to the basket. But those Howl Hornets are going to be crashing the glass against Shenandoah. How are they gonna handle that, Shark?
Yeah, Shenandoah was able to beat them last year in sectional play, but Howe definitely had their chances. Had a lot of shots in around the paint, just did not find their way down. I think Coach Kendrick's going to have those guys amped up to get some revenge. They're obviously going to be looking to pressure those young guards of Shenandoah. That could be an interesting sectional matchup should that happen. Staying in the Indy area, you look at a couple other schools, Park Tudor and Heritage Christian, as have not made a bunch of noise the last couple years, but look to step up with some guys that are looking to make their mark on those two programs.
Yeah, Park Tudor will be really young. I think Ronald Johnson, the sophomore guard, will be leading that group. A few other sophomores in there, and then I know they're going to be counting on even some freshmen. So it'll be interesting to see where Park Tudor grows from here. Tim Adams taking over that program. See what they can do this year. Probably building for next year or 2 years down the road here, Shark. And then Heritage Christian, I think they're one team to watch here, Shark. I think they got a few surprise kids, and I've always been able to pull the upset these last few years where they sneak up and take a bigger team out.
Yeah, they're always seem to be in that 13 to 17 win range, and haven't always come through when it comes to March. But Harrison Eckel, interesting combo forward, big physical kid that can step out a little bit and put it on the floor. And then if you wanted to go down farther south, we look at last year's state runner-up at Forest Park. They bring back Kurt Hope from that team, looking to kind of make another run back there, and then Evansville Modern Day as well.
Yeah, I think Hope becomes more of a playmaker at Forest Park. He's more just a inside guy, step out and be a passer, but I think he's going to create more off the dribble for Forest Park this year with Sam Englert gone to graduation. And then obviously, like you said, Evansville Modern Day with Logan Carter down low, Jackson Heister from the perimeter. I think they're going to be a pretty good group to have a good season and possibly make a run in the 2A tournament, Shark.
Okay. Trevor, who do you like top couple teams from each semi-state, the North and the South?
I think the North's going to be really tough. I mean, yeah, I think North's going to be really tough. You got Bowman Academy up there, Westview, Andrean, Marquette. And then even if, are we throwing Frankton in there too, Shark? They go North? Yeah, they're North, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Andrean with the sophomore Kyle Ross, they're going to be a tough team to handle. Who's the other sophomore they have there? Nick Fleischer.
Yep.
Those two are going to be tough. And then John Crothers is also a good guard for him. Bowman, we didn't talk very much about them, but Amari Sherrod, really tough, physical guard, scores a lot. They're going to be really good. Kind of a throwback Bowman team, athletic and tough. Let's see, Shark. I'm going to go. Whew, man, that's going to be really tough. I think I'm going all region teams up north, Shark. Bowman, Andrean, Marquette, and then throw in Westview. Not really a region, but close enough. So I'll throw them in there.
The Amish region.
Yeah, Amish region. Who are your top four for the north there, Shark?
I mean, I'm gonna go
Whoa, that was close.
I'm gonna go. I think you have to look at Westview and Andrean, even though Andrean's a little young. I think they definitely have the firepower. Westview's been there time and time again. I'm gonna throw Frankton in there. I think they've got a really good chemistry there. Caden Key's obviously been a 4-year starter for them, so he's gonna be able to be a good leader for them. I hesitate to look at Marquette because outside of Kenny and Andershock, I'm really not sure how much they have beyond those two. I know they lost a bit to graduation. And this Bowman Teague's in team is intriguing because if they can get out, use their athleticism, press, create turnovers, this is a team that can jump on people pretty quickly. So I'd probably go Bowman, Westview, Andrean, and Frankton for my top four up north.
One thing to also point out there, Shark, Andrean Bowman, Gary Roosevelt, Bishop Knoll, all in the same sectional. So obviously, one of our pick is going to be out early there, Shark.
But I still think, whoever comes out of that sectional is going to be tested and going to be poised to make a deep run, getting potentially to the semi-state level.
Yeah, no doubt there, Shark.
We head south here. I think you obviously have to look at Forest Park, even though they do lose a little bit to graduation. You have somebody like Kurt Hope, who's able to do things off the dribble. He's going to be able to rebound and score inside for them. They'd made it to state last year. I think you have to pick them. I think you look at a team like Modern Day with Logan Carter, somebody that size and that skill able to command double teams on the block. He's going to be able to score for them. I'm really kind of unsure about how, because with all the new faces in there, obviously Kai Washington being there, how are the other guys going to mold around? They did lose a lot last year with Jeff DeSeltzer, Brandon Bellamy, Jameel Turner-Hall, or some other really talented players for them. They're gone. How much does Kai have to balance between being a scorer and getting other guys offense to take the pressure off of himself? Shenandoah, obviously three really good guards, but again, they're all sophomores, they're all young. Will that youth show up in the postseason? And then, like you said, Park Tudor and Heritage Christian, maybe not quite ready this year, even though they have some talent. So I think 2A South is really wide open. I think Forest Park's the main known commodity.
Yeah, I'm gonna differ a little bit here, Shark. I think I'm gonna go maybe a upset pick already. I'm gonna pick Evansville Modern Day to get out of that sectional with Forest Park. I just like how Logan and Jackson can play together. Good two-man inside-outside threat there. I'm gonna go with Indianapolis Howe. I think Krishan Brown, Jalen Stamps, Kai Washington. I think that core group is good enough to get them over Shenandoah. One team I'm really interested to see this year, Shark. Monrovia with Max Newman and then the junior Josh Smith, about 6'5", maybe 6'6". Obviously, guard play usually dominates in high school, but those are two pretty big forward, pretty skilled, can do a little bit of everything. So that's going to be a lot of matchup problem. And with obviously Cloverdale's going to be regrouping this year, I'm going to take Monrovia. That's three, Shark.
You got Modern Day, Monrovia, and Howe in South. We need another one.
Who would that? I'll throw Park Tudor in there, Shark. I think they're gonna have enough skill guys kind of come on late. I think they're gonna start off probably a little slow. Obviously, play a pretty good schedule, and then by tournament time, I think they come around and pull a few upsets and get pretty deep in the tournament, Shark.
Sounds good, Trevor. Sounds good. We'll move on to 3A here, where, kind of before we started this podcast, we were listing teams for 3A, and it seems like we came up with about 30 different teams. Just seems like 3A is very, very balanced here. You obviously have the defending state champs, Culver, to bring back most of their team from last year's state championship. Ethan Britton Watts, Trey Galloway, the main two, but then you have Deontay Craig, Nick Hiddle inside that can able to step out and hit a couple shots. That's a team that won last year and returns their main pieces.
Yeah, you would expect them to take another step forward here, Shark, with that experience under their belt. Obviously, big time players with Trey Galloway having high major Big Ten offers. Ethan Britton Watts already signed to Boston University. Deontay Craig on the football side, high
Has Big
major
Ten
offers.
offers, yep.
So obviously going to be tough to beat. Is there going to be any state championship hangover since all those guys are basically back? Who's going to be hungry? Who's going to be ready to take that next step and defend their title, Shark?
Yeah, and then you look at staying in the north, Mishawaka Marion with Jaden Ivey. He's been racking up high major offers this summer and fall. He may be the best player in the north side for 3A. In the north half of the state. Does he have the group around him at Marion to support him to make a run and take out Culver? I think
they almost did last year, Shark.
Yeah.
Took a last second putback I believe Deontay Craig was fouled on it. I think he made a free throw or two to send them on to the regional. But I think Marion's supporting cast aren't going to be big time college prospects, but I think they're athletic enough and I think they could fit around Jaden Ivey really well. So I expect them to really give Culver a fight here.
Yeah, staying up north, one team that I know we're probably going to be talking about for years to come, and that's Gary Westside with the fantastic freshman Jalen Washington.
Yeah, Washington's a big time prospect shark. About 6'6" of the begins his high school career, can play on the perimeter. Good athlete, plays hard, rebounds, great coordination. You expect him to continue to grow as well. He looks like he's about 12 years old in the face, so expect him to get a few more inches as well. And as his game is refined, expect him to dominate here in the future. He has a really good point guard, Kumari Peterson, with him. Obviously, Peterson was their main guy last year. Kershawn Christmas got a lot of accolades and notoriety, but Peterson's the one who started from day one for Westside, and Peterson and Washington are going to be really good. Obviously, I just mentioned Christmas. He transferred to West Virginia Sharks, so obviously that's a blow, but just with Peterson and Washington alone, that's going to be a good duo. And they have a senior, Jimmy Washington, who's about 6'7", mostly a rebounder and around the basket scorer, but also a pretty good player.
Yeah. Staying up north, there's some questions here about the team that lost to Culver in semi-state, the Newcastle Trojans. When Mason Gillis will come back from his off-season knee injury, we've heard anything from a few weeks to potentially late January, early February. It's really an unknown when Mason Gillis comes back, and until then, that's a lot to put on Luke Bumbleow's plate.
Yeah, it sounds like there's no rush for him to come back and play this year. Some have even said he might even just sit out the whole year, Shark. So obviously a big question mark there. If he does play, expect him to dominate right away. There aren't too many guys with his physicality and his skill set in high school basketball. So that'd be great if he does play. If not, obviously Newcastle will rely heavily on the 3-point line. Bumbleow, obviously a great shooter, and the guys around him can shoot pretty well also, Shark.
Yeah, we'll move to the Indy area. It seems 3A in Indy is just a street fight here with Crispus Attucks, Brebeuf, Chatard. You can throw Danville out there just on the west side. Very, very good 3A basketball in Indiana. Let's start with Crispus Attucks and Chris Hawkins' squad.
Yeah, I like this team. Harold Bennett had a great year on summer circuit with the Indy Heat. He was really a playmaker and distributor for them. That's a little bit of a different role from his usual slashing and scoring. If he's a playmaker for Sincere McMahon, really good spot-up shooter, transferred in from Indianapolis Tinley, obviously that'd be a great duo right there. And then a little bit different for Attucks. They have pretty good size this year, Shark. A lot of 6'4", 6'5", guys with Jaquan Edwards, the Williams brothers or twins, Donovan Barnett, Jalen Carson. I mean, they're going to have a lot of size and a lot of different players around Bennett and McMahon.
Yeah, I think scoring-wise, Bennett and McMahon are going to be the two main guns, but I'm really a big fan of Jaquan Edwards, 6'6" kid that just plays so hard, very high motor around the rim, rebounds, block shots, putbacks, runs the floor. And then the Williams twins, like you said, can kind of do inside and outside. They're just going to try and fit in here, I think, and really not have a lot of attention paid to them. I think they can thrive in those roles. So yeah, and Chris Hawkins, is had success there at Attucks. They do lose Derek Briscoe and Micah Poole to graduation, but look for that other group to step up and fill in. Staying in that same area, Brebeuf, Todd Howard's squad up there on 86th Street with a couple of really good senior guards in Simon Banks and Spencer Rice.
Yeah, it seems like another team that's going to rely on the 3-point line a lot is Brebeuf. Simon or Spencer Rice had a huge year last year when he returned from injury. Had a good summer, so I expect him as a senior to step up, be a consistent performer for him. You said Simon Banks coming off a good football season, real tough competitor, defends really well, and then you just have a whole bunch of pieces around them like Jay Higgins and those guys who can do a little bit of everything and make it easier for Banks and Rice.
Yeah, and you're going to need Higgins to come up big, losing Brendan Fitzgerald to graduation. Higgins, not the biggest at 6'2", but a standout on the gridiron, 215 to 220 pounds of pure muscle and athleticism. He's going to be able to play a lot bigger than his size would suggest. So if he can even give them 10 and 8, I think that takes a lot of pressure off Rice and Banks on the perimeter.
Yeah. And man, this is just a loaded class, Shark. I mean, especially in the South with Silver Creek, Evansville Memorial, Evansville Bossy. We didn't even talk about Indianapolis Manual, who's in that
No, and Jalen
sectional.
Johnson, yeah, Chatard, Heritage Hills and Southridge too are also two good teams from Southern Indiana.
Yeah, Heritage Hill is gonna be really tough. Blake Sisley, Maury Becker. Oh, Simon Sherry, that trio is going to be really tough. And speaking of trios, Silver Creek with Zane Groves, Trey Kaufman, Jacoby Cooper, those guys are really
Yeah,
tough.
Kaufman's been getting a lot of attention from colleges here in the past few months. And we haven't even talked about Southridge yet with Colson Montgomery and that group down there. We had a chance to see them play this summer. They could be a team that, very easily makes it to the semi-state level in 3A.
Yeah, he seems like he's used to getting deep in the playoffs, whatever sport it is.
Yeah,
Shark goes to the
football,
state
basketball,
title game for
baseball.
baseball. Deep as a quarterback this year on their football team. Won a sectional in basketball last year. So yeah, and then we haven't even talked about like Marion with Jalen Blackman had a huge freshman year, and J.K. Thomas. Talk about a duo that can score in a hurry there, Shark.
Yeah, and a duo that's not going to back down from anybody here. So, and that's not to say of some other teams like West Lafayette, Dave Wood's squad.
Yeah, I like West Lafayette a lot there, Shark.
Up there, Bossy with Kieron Powell. They lose Makai Larry to graduation, the runner-up for Mr. Basketball last year. Can Powell take that step as a scorer and be able to be a consistent threat inside for them? Greensburg, another team that's made some deep runs in the recent past, with Lane Sparks and that group over there. Just a very, very deep and talented group here in 3A in the state of Indiana.
Yeah, really deep, and a ton of players in the 2021 class to watch as well, especially in 3A. Obviously, a talented group overall, but it seems like a lot of them are in this 3A class here, Shark.
So who do you like? We'll start up north. Give me four teams you like coming out of the north 3A.
I think you got to go with Culver, obviously, defending state champ. I think Mishawaka Marion will obviously give them a tough fight, but I think Culver's got a little bit more, obviously has the experience, so I'll go with them. I'm going to go with Marion that we just mentioned because of Blackman and J.K. Thomas. I think that's enough scoring out of them. I'm going to go West Lafayette Shark that we just mentioned. I think they have enough talent to get deep. Who else we got in the north side here, Shark? Where's the cutoff? No, Newcastle's north.
Yeah,
I'm
Northwestern.
gonna bet on Gillis coming back, and I'm gonna go with Newcastle as my fourth team there, Shark, in the north.
Yeah, I think obviously, like you said, Culver, Mishawaka Marion are two up north that I really like. Newcastle's record might not be great going into postseason play, but if Gillis can even come back at 80% of what he normally is, that's going to be a big help to take the pressure off of Bumbalo. Mason Hardwick and Blake Burris, you have two really good 3-point shooters there for Newcastle. They're going to play, I think, pretty up tempo. And then you look at, gosh, it's really wide open. West Lafayette loses Matt Krause to Wabash College. George Karloftis, I don't believe, is playing basketball this year. That's a big blow with athleticism on the interior. Can some of those younger kids, Yanni Karloftis, Harrison Truitt, can those guys step up?
Rocco.
Yeah, Rocco Muratori, can those kids step up into that front court void and really assert themselves as well? And then in the South, I mean, it's a free for all, like we said, just a 2A as well. I like Silver Creek a lot. I think those kids are really, really talented. Don't get a lot of publicity statewide, but they're really good. I like Attucks a lot. And then Heritage Hills, I think those three are my three favorites here. And then you look at a team like Chatard as well can kind of make a run unnoticed with Idris Redman as their main gun. They've got a couple sophomores, Noah Carter, Brennan Bussier, that can step into bigger roles on the varsity level. They've maybe a year away, but I think Chatard's a team that people need to keep their eye on come March.
All right, Shark. For my South teams, I'm gonna go with Greensburg with the trio of shooters, Lane Sparks, Andrew Wellett, and Drew Comer. Tough to find a better trio of shooters right there, Shark. Sticking with trios, gonna go with Heritage Hills down south. Sisley, Sherry, and Becker there. Who else am I going with? Silver Creek, I'm gonna pick them like you did. Love their another trio basically of Gross, Kaufman, and Cooper. And then my final team, I'm gonna go with Bossy. Obviously gonna be tough with Heritage Hills right there as well, but Kieran Powell dominant around the basket, picking up Colton Sanford being eligible, huge score from Evansville North transferred in. Initially said he was ineligible, they appealed it and got it overturned. And then they have a freshman, Julian Norris, as well for Boston. I think that's going to be just a great year of 3A basketball, especially in the South Evansville area. And should be fun to watch there, Shark.
Definitely. And let's move on to 4A, obviously the largest class here. Just a ton of talent. Let's start up north. You look at a couple teams in northern Indiana. Let's start with up in the region in Valpo.
Yeah, I think they're one of the big favorites here to get down to the state behind the Purdue signee, Brandon Newman. Most people at the in the region know him as a slasher, rebounder, scoring around the rim, but what he's showing he's best at now is a spot-up shooter. I think you're going to see that even more this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he averages around 30 points a game, Shark. He's going to be counted on to do a lot, and obviously last year he showed that he can handle that.
Yeah, and they were very good last year, sectional champions, and they only lose a couple pieces to graduation. Charlie Healy and Marcus Golston bring back Bethel signee Nate Aerts. You have a couple of sophomores who played as freshmen in Colton Jones and Cooper Jones. CJ Opperman, the quarterback of their semi-state team in football. So this is a group that, really returns a lot from an already good team. Obviously, Newman coming back from Mount Verde at the start of the year really just puts that over the top for them. And then you look just north of them at Chesterton with Jake Wadding as a team that, would be a favorite in almost any other sectional, and they're kind of behind Valpo up there.
Yeah, I think if Chesterton's gonna give Valpo a run, Wadding's gonna have to be huge. And then Tyler Nelson, who's committed to Indiana State for baseball, the point guard for Chesterton, those two are really gonna have to carry the load to compete with somebody like Brandon Newman and the rest of that Valpo squad. Yeah, it should be a solid Chesterton team this year, Shark.
Go up to Penn and a very formidable duo, Noah Applegate, and then a kid you really like, Drew Lutz.
Yeah. Tough not to like that duo there, Shark. I think obviously Applegate's well over 1,000 and Lutz is quickly approaching it. Obviously we're a good duo last year, but seemed like Lutz got more confidence and expanded his game this spring and summer. He got some D1 interest, a bunch of D2 offers, and then obviously stayed home and committed to Bethel there.
Yeah. And that's a team that, when I was looking at their roster earlier, they only lose one senior from last year's group, a team that won 15 games. So look at that experience to help pay off up there at Penn. And they're kind of, in that area, South Bend Riley obviously lost a lot. They could still be pretty good,
Yeah, I think
but.
this Riley team's actually been really good. I think if they press and extend their defense, I mean, I think they could. They have the athletes with Jalen Jennings, Trevor Fortune, Gabe
John.
Johnson. Those guys extend the pressure. I mean, I think they could turn any game upside down.
Yeah, so that's they may not have the scoring that they've had in years past, but maybe have to rely on their defense to turn that into offense. Few teams in the Fort Wayne area, Carroll, Homestead, Snyder, and Northrop, all teams that have some question marks, but definitely have the talent to overcome a lot of those question marks.
Yeah, we were talking about duos and trios and Snyder with Michael Ealy and
Dylan
Dylan
Duh.
Duff. I mean, those two can really fill it up from the outside. I really like Carroll's duo of Dan McKeeman and David Isaiah. Those two are really good. Homestead, I think, is going to be a little bit more balanced, but with Luke Goody, the freshman Leper.
Andrew Leeper.
Yeah, Andrew Leper.
Jake
Obviously.
Archbold back again. He started since he was a freshman.
Yeah.
Not really a big scorer, but kind of a defender, distributor there, physical guard. And then you look at Northrop getting Sidney Curry in from Horizon Christian, then Quaylen Pettis, who I think is a kid that has a chance to really break out in that 2020 class.
Yeah, he had a few good games last year, but I think it's just what type of consistency does Pettis have this year? Obviously, yeah, 6'2", 6'3", built like a truck, good athlete. Can he bring it every night for them to be really special here, Shark? Surprising in the Fort Wayne area.
Yeah, I think those
What about East Noble there, Shark? Obviously coming
East,
off a
yeah.
huge year last year.
You have Ali, the 6'7" athlete, and then Hayden Jones at the guard spot for them. That's a really talented group. They're in with that same sectional as Carroll and Northrop and Snyder, so that's just going to be a dogfight up there. Throwing Bishop Dwenger, who
Okay, that's a homer pick, Shark.
maybe doesn't have the raw talent of those other schools, but they're always a thorn in people's side come March. They could pull an upset off one of those teams and really kind of shake up that sectional as well.
What about Logansport?
You know, you have Sam Skaggs and Will Penny, obviously guys who've been on varsity for quite a while. You know, I really like Will Penny's game. If it sticks to his strengths, you know, there are times last year where he's floated around the three-point line. If he's slashing and active and aggressive trying to get to the paint, he's a really tough cover for people because he's so quick and long and athletic. And then you look at Sam Skaggs, who can bomb away from deep. He can beat you off the dribble too, because you have to go out and guard him to about 25 feet. Those two, definitely. Jacob Cox in the interior gives him a physical football kid. So that's a group that could be really good. You look at Lafayette Jeff in that area too. You know, they get a boost with the Barnheiser kids moving in, and then you have Avery Beaver, a lights out shooter there. Matt Jones on the interior can give them a big body to battle on the block. You know, that's a team that can really, you know, if they gel together, they're certainly going to have the firepower to match up with anybody in that area.
Yeah, it looks like they're really going to rely on the three-point line. And those guys you named, Avery Beaver's automatic if he gets any type of space. And then the Barnheisers are really good with extended range. So extending your defense to defend those guys really going to put a lot of pressure on a lot of teams there, Shark.
We head down to the Indy area, where there's just a massive amount of 4A talent per usual. Let's start over here in Fishers with Hamilton Southeastern, a core group of guys that have been together for a while now, especially with Aaron Etherington and Noah Smith entering their senior year.
Yeah, I want to see if they can take that next step there, Shark. Can they come together, be really tough on the defensive end, and do they have enough shooting? Obviously, Etherington's a good shooter. Cole Hornbuckle, the junior, looks like he's going to be able to step up. But are they going to have enough spacing around, you know, with Etherington slashing the basket, Noah Smith slashing, Mabor Majok inside, Chris Grubbs is kind of inside-outside guy. Where do they get that consistency from the outside to make sure that defenses can't just help and kind of clog up the middle on them, Shark?
Yeah, and that's going to be the big question for them. They lose a couple good kids from last year. You know, you look at obviously Noah Smith going to Indiana Wesleyan, Aaron Etherington going to Toledo. Two really, really talented kids. I think we're looking for Mabor Majok to take that next step as well, to be more than just a shot blocker. Can he score inside and command double teams on the block? You know, that's a question I think that we'll have to find out this year. Does Chris Grubbs take that next step and be a you know, 13, 14 point a game guy that you can rely on night in, night out, for Hamilton Southeastern and Coach Satterfield?
Yeah, like this, I think we could name pretty much every team in the Indianapolis area for 4A here, Shark. Going to be a really good season. I think we got to talk about Warren Central next, though. Undefeated last year, 32-0. Bring back a lot of the same guys, David Bell, Jesse Bingham, Jacoby Robinson, that core group. And then you add in Isaiah Moore, one of the best shooters in the state, and Manuel Brown, an electric athlete. And it looks like they have even more talent than they did last year, Shark.
Yeah, you know, Malik Stanley at the guard spot for them too. The thing that, I mean, obviously, I don't think anybody at the start of the year would have predicted Warren Central to go 32-0, and probably didn't predict them to win the state title. You know, this goes back to how you're talking about Culver. You know, how hungry are those guys? I think you find somebody like David Bell, who's one of the best leaders in the state. You know, he's going to have those guys going night in and night out. And I think what drove them last year a lot with their two graduated guards, Dean Tate, Antoine Cushenberry, is those guys were just such competitors, and they did not back down from any challenge.
Yeah, they were down 10 points late in pretty much every postseason game, it seemed like, Shark.
Yeah, you could make a case they should have probably lost about 7 games, but somehow pulled it out. Does Manuel Brown, Isaiah Moore have that same level of competitiveness, that same level of fight and mental toughness that those two had? If they do, because I don't think anybody's gonna say that's not a talent upgrade with Manuel Brown, Isaiah Moore, Verdine Tate, and Antoine Cushenberry. But do they have the mental makeup and the toughness that those kids had that are gone now? You look at Joe Rush coming off the bench last year. You know, can they bring that every single night and be up for the challenge of having to come back and fight every single night?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to match Tate and Cushenberry, but like we were saying, their talent level is good enough. So if they come even close within a, a couple yards of their toughness, they're going to more than make up for it. They're Shark.
Yep. The team they played in the state title game, Carmel returns a lot of pieces there, obviously centered around the Butler commit, John Michael Malloy, Andrew Owens, really good 6'6" forward, and Luke Hedy manning the point guard spot. Obviously bringing a lot back, and they have a nice addition to the Greyhound roster this year. I know you saw and liked in their scrimmage.
Yeah, it's pretty rare for Carmel to even play a freshman, let alone start, but that's what it looks like. Pete Suitor's going to do for him. About 6'2", 6'3", smooth shooting stroke, poised off the dribble, creative around the basket, really rebounded against Lafayette Jeff in their scrimmage. Looks like he's going to be ready to contribute in a major way. Obviously, they're going to have to find some, like we were saying with Warren Central, Karma's going to have to find some toughness and athleticism to replace Eddie Gill and the playmaker Cole Jenkins as well. Can Suter offset that with the talent upgrade there?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question there, and how do they acclimate a freshman in there? Because you know he's gonna be thrust right into a lot of varsity minutes. Do the Friday night lights faze him at all? I think that's a question they have to ask there. But again, a lot of talent up at Carmel. Going to the other side of Indy, probably with the Mr. Basketball favorite, Trace Jackson Davis, a very good Center Grove squad that's made some deep runs.
Yeah, and it's a team that's been together for the last few years as well. Trace, along with Spencer Piercefield, Ben Nickerson, Ben Greller. I mean, that group's going to be really tough to beat because you have the inside threat of Trace, and then you surround him with the shooters like Piercefield and Nick Nickerson. Obviously, going to be a tough group. And then you throw in Trace's younger brother, Tavian. I think he could be a difference maker as a freshman as well,
Yeah,
Shark.
he definitely gives them some athleticism at the guard spot, which is lacking a little bit with Nickerson and Piercefield. But like you said, they really complement each other well. Greller, I know you're expecting a step forward for them to solidify that four spot. The way to beat them, I think, is to really get up and press their guards. But Trace is comfortable bringing the ball up. I think it's going to be hard for,
Justin DeGraff might be able
yeah,
to
Justin DeGraff
relieve
too.
some pressure there.
So I think like you said, and they've made some deep runs. And this is a team that, like you said, has been together for 2 or 3 years now. They know how each other play. They know where each other are going to be. And you know, I think the biggest thing for them is not having to run into Romeo Langford in the South.
Yeah, that's
You
a
know,
pretty big thing. Pretty
you know that
big thing.
definitely. That definitely helps them a ton going down to that regional. I think Lawrence Central is a team, you know, we need to talk about a little bit more. Maybe hasn't been as highly thought of in the past few years, you know, kind of on the edge of that top half of the MIC. But talent-wise, there's few teams that can match what they have.
Yeah, at every position there too, Shark. Point guard with Nigel Pack, good athlete, good shooter, good decision maker, good defender. You go to the two spot with DeAndre Davis, long, lanky, can hit shots, good in the mid-range, likes to get out in transition. Jacob Laravia obviously had a huge spring and summer to get him a D1 offer after what, scoring 3 or 5 points a game
Yeah,
last
about
year.
5 or 6 a game. Didn't even start for most of the year.
Yeah, and a lot of games only played a few minutes. Obviously exploded, and he's going to be a big part of their team this year. Wesley Jordan looks fully healthy, senior forward. Who else? We got the move in. Edwards, who's going to be a good piece for him, good
Yeah, at the
athlete.
guard spot too. Xavier Del Real is giving him good minutes as a kind of an undersized forward in the past. So I think the key for them, like you said, is Wesley Jordan's health. You know, last year he just didn't look right coming off his ACL injury, and then we saw him this summer, really this fall too, look fully healthy, look like he's gained back not only his athleticism but his trust and confidence in his knee. I think he takes them from a good to a potentially great team. manning the interior for LC.
And then their rival, Lawrence North, another talented squad for Jack Kiefer with Jarrett Hankins, who signed with Indiana State. Tony Perkins is a big-time player on the wing. DJ Hughes is a power forward, sophomore. Had a good freshman year. Looks like he's ready to be really tough again this year. I mean, so they're going to be really good. I just want to see who's their playmaker this year without Mike Saunders and then JP Carroll transferred to Avon. So who's going to step up and get those guys shots, Shark?
Yeah, it's a big question for Jack Kiefer. Speaking of playmakers, one of the more electric playmakers in the state out at Zionsville, Isaiah Thompson, in his fourth year as a starter for the Eagles. That's a really good team out there. It's going to rely heavily on him, but he's not the only one that can do damage for Zionsville.
Yeah, him and Nathan Childress are really kind of molded into a good duo last year, Shark. Really good athlete, Childress, signed with Bethel. He's added to his game, you know, can step out, hit the 3-point shot now, but still mostly a rebounder. We'll get a few dunks here and there. Likes to be on top of their 1-3-1 sometimes as well. So those two, plus you got good size all around him. Hogan Orball down in the post. He's committed to DePaul.
You have Brandon Vernon transferring in from Pike, gives him a shooter on the perimeter, a big body as well, and then Anthony Scales, an athlete on at the three
Kind of
spot.
do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, just kind of fit in. You know, they lose Riley Bertram, who's a big piece, kind of took a little bit of pressure in the backcourt off of Isaiah last year. But that's a really talented team. And then you go down south, and there's some really, really good teams in the southern third of the state. Bloomington South, obviously losing Chance Coyle, but Anthony Leal's a big piece. You look at Noah Jaeger, who is on the all-tournament team at the Hall of Fame Classic last year at the point guard spot. Connor Hickman, who had a really good summer with Indiana Elite, stepping into a bigger role there. So Bloomington South's definitely a team to look at. You look down New Albany, losing Romeo Langford and Sean East. That was about 55 points a game last year, but they'll still have some talent.
Yeah, like Derek Stevenson, the senior guard for New Albany. Trey Horrigan was mostly a spot-up shooter for him last year, but he'll do a little bit more with Romeo and Sean East gone. Julian Hunter shot what, about 85% from the field last year, just all dunks and putbacks. He's back.
Darren Starks gave them good minutes. Savion Southers gave them some varsity minutes last year. So a lot of their team in terms of roster numbers returns, just the point void left with Romeo and Sean East leaving. And then down in that area too, Floyd Central, really good team that gave New Albany everything they wanted last year.
Yeah, Kobe Barnes is back.
Yeah, they lose a lot to graduation, but Kobe Barnes, the Indiana State signee, is poised for a big senior year. And then right there, Jeffersonville, with Trey Coleman, just a man child, that's really tough to contain. Will Loving's Watts should be a really good piece for them as well.
Yeah, I think this Jeffersonville team is going to be the best one, you know, in that Floyd Central, New Albany area, with obviously Trey Coleman leading the way, but Jacob Jones on the perimeter, good leader, point guard. Like you said, Will Loving's Watts as a freshman should be able to do a little bit of everything. Obviously, a really good group. I think they're going to be the team to beat in that, you know, Louisville area.
And then heading over to Evansville, a couple teams. Castle, it seems like Alex Hemingway's on his sixth year at Castle, but the guard's poised for a big senior year there for the Knights.
Yeah, he's signed to Clemson. I think they could surprise some people, kind of get back on their winning ways, where it seemed like they were always making it deep with Jack Nungey and Hemingway and those guys. So I think they kind of get back to that. And then the Evansville schools are pretty young. Evansville Wrights, Christian Lander, Drew Carlton, a few other guys are looking to step up as sophomores. They're going to be really good. Evansville Harrison's pretty good, even though they lost, you know, Robin Duncan and Riley Epley, who walked out at Belmont, big time scorer. I think they're going to be better than people expect down in the Evansville area. But who else we got down there? Bedford North Lawrence. I mean, they're going to be pretty solid with,
Brayton Bailey, McCall Ray.
yeah, and the but that's going to be a pretty good squad there, Shark. Columbus North, pretty solid. Blake Barker had a good freshman year for him, Shark. So look for them to be pretty good again. Shelbyville with Zach Coon should be pretty solid. Richmond got the Croft brothers transferred in there.
Ricky Wedlow.
No, he's at Lawrence North now, Sharks. Who? Let's move on to who your top four teams from the 4A North, Shark.
4A North. I think two of them are pretty easy. Valpo, Brandon Newman, and Carmel, last year's state runner-up. Those two are, I think, the class of the North. I'm going to go with Penn and I'm going to go Snyder to come out of
Homer
Fort Wayne.
Homer pick.
Well, I just think they're going to come out of that 4A Fort Wayne area. Carroll, I think they lose a lot after McKeeman and Aja. Homestead loses everybody except Luke Goody, basically, that scored for them. I think that's going to be a school that's going to find some pieces. I'm going to have to fit them together this year. And then Northrop, I'm just worried about the guard play a little bit. Snyder, I really think Michael Ealy steps up. He averaged 12 a game last year as a freshman. Look for him and Dylan Duff to both be, I think, in that 17 to 18 game range for the Panthers and Jeremy Rauch this year. So that's my four up North: Carmel, Valpo, Penn, and Snyder. What are you thinking about there, Trevor?
I think Valpo is a lock. You got to put them in there. I think they have a great chance of getting out of the sectional with Brandon Newman leading the way. Yeah, Carmel, like you said, I think they're probably a lock too. Obviously, HSC will have something to say about that, but those two, I'm going to go with Penn as well. I think Shark, Ludson, Noah Applegate are just too good. And then my fourth pick, I'll go with Zionsville with Isaiah Thompson leading the way. So my four North and 4A: Valpo, Carmel, Zionsville, and Penn.
Okay, and then we look at the south part of the state here, Trevor. Obviously, Sectional 10 is going to be a battle with Warren Central, Lawrence Central, Lawrence North. Don't forget Cathedral, Armand Franklin, James Franklin, Tayshawn Comer, Justin Hensley. That's going to be a really good squad too in that sectional. And then down in the Louisville area, you have Jeffersonville, Floyd Central, New Albany. Who are your four down in the southern part of the state?
I'm going to go with Jeffersonville with Trey Coleman having a good breakout season, Shark. I'm going to go Bloomington South with Anthony Leal leading the way. I'm going to go Center Grove with Trace Jackson Davis. And then my fourth pick, this is where it gets really tough, Shark. I'm going to go with kind of a team I don't think we really talked about, Ben Davis, with Dewan Jones inside, Jalen Windham on the outside. And then they just have good overall size everywhere. Jalen Jennings, 6'5", 4", transferred in from Avon. Jeff Clayton, another 6'5" guy that's pretty good. And then good athletes on the perimeter. I think if they make sure they have a steady ball handler and maybe a distributor, they have another great season in Donovan Carlisle's first year at the Westside School in Indianapolis.
Yeah. Ooh. Gosh, this is tough. I think you look at, you know, Warren Central being, I think somebody's going to have to really bring it to them. That's got a potential to be a great defensive team again this year. I think they're one of my four. I think you look at Center Grove. Obviously, there's nobody in the state that's going to be able to match up with Trace Jackson Davis. I think he's going to be able to do whatever he wants. And then if you double him, you know, it's just going to be raining threes down there for Center Grove. So that's my second one. I'm going to go Jeffersonville. I really think Trey Coleman's the best kid in Indiana that doesn't get the publicity that maybe he deserves. He flies kind
of. He got an offer from Nebraska. What kind of recognition do you want, Shark?
I mean, I just don't feel like he's talked about as one of the best players in the state of Indiana.
Yeah, you got to prove it this year, Shark. Got to prove it.
So I'm going to go Warren Central, Center Grove, Jeffersonville, and I'm going to go Wrights. I like the young core that they
have. Young here, Shark.
Yeah, I like the young core they have. Christian Lander, a dynamic athlete at the point guard spot, can really score. You know, they get some shooting from Drew Carlton. They are young. But that group, I think, certainly has the talent to make a run out of Evansville. I'm just not sure if Castle has enough around Alex Hemingway right now. They could. So that's probably my four. Thought about Bloomington South in there. But I'll go Wrights, Warren Central, Center Grove, and Jeffersonville.
All right, sounds good. Are we going to pick state champion in each class here, Shark?
We might as well make ourselves look foolish.
All right, let's start with 1A. Who you got?
I got Blackhawk Christian.
Okay, going pure chalk here. yeah, I'll stick with it. When you have first and Frankie Davidson, tough to argue with that one, Shark. I'll go with that one. Who you got in 2A?
2A, a little wide open. I'm going to go Westview, I think. I think Elijah Hales and Charlie Yoder They bring back some other pieces from their team last year. That was really good. I just don't see, I think Bowman, if they press and get up and give them a run, but I think Westview, to me is a slight favorite. I'm not, fully sure on this pick, but I'll go Westview.
I think I'm going to go a little bit out on a limb here, Shark. Indianapolis Howell, the Fighting Christoph Kendricks.
I'm sorry,
Big
Chris.
time talent
I'm
there.
sorry, Christoph.
I really like the
We
makeup
just
of this
jinxed
team
him.
here. Well, yeah, that's a given, Shark. But so much athleticism, great guard play. They have more shooting than they've had in the past year, Shark. I think they have a really good chance of getting deep in the tournament. So I'm going to go with Howell.
Okay, 3A, Trevor, who you got?
Oh, this is another tough one here. I think the easy pick would probably be Culver. Addicts right there. Gotta make a pick here, Shark. I'm gonna go with Addicts. I think they've upgraded in pretty much every area across the board, more depth this year than they've had last year or two. I think Harold Bennett, is making better decisions, being more of a playmaker. The shooting of McMahon. I think Addicts for the second time in 3 years gets another state title, Shark.
We're just all about jinxing people right now, throwing it on Chris Hawkins right there.
Well, they got all season to deal with the pressure, Shark. They can get used to it. The hot stove.
Yep. Like you said, it's very hard to pick against Culver with all they have back from a state championship and winning a state title impressively against a very good Bossy team last year. I think I'm gonna have to go with Culver here just because of what they bring back, both inside and outside. There's just too much firepower from a team that's already been there, is not gonna be fazed in the state tournament. So I'm gonna go Culver as well.
Shark, not going out on the limb here. Not going out on the limb. All right, 4A here, Shark. This seems like it's wide open. Who are you going to take here?
4A, I'm gonna make a pick, and some may think it's chalk, but it's a team that hasn't done it before, but it's also the team that I think has the best player, and that's Center Grove.
Okay, going with Trace Jackson Davis to bring it home to Center Grove. Not a bad pick, Shark. Not a bad pick. Let's see who I got. I'm gonna go way out on a limb here, Shark. I'm going with Valpo. I think they have a good road to get down to state, and then Brandon Newman, Nate Ertz, the supporting cast have enough to get it done, Shark. Gotta make up for the Bryce Drew, Tim Bishop team of 94, the 25th anniversary, and they're gonna capture the title, Shark.
Oh, sounds good. So there are our state picks, likely, maybe not likely, to be proven wrong.
Probably could take those to the bank, Shark.
We'll do just that here.
All right, Shark. Everybody always wants to know who's going to win Mr. Basketball. With Keon Brooks transferring to a non-IHSA school, Lalemeer and LaPorte, it seems like it's pretty cut and dry that Trace Jackson Davis is the front runner here, Shark. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
I agree. I mean, I think he's definitely the front runner.
By how wide a margin, then? Let's clarify what's the gap here that needs to be made up during the season.
I don't think it's necessarily as big as some people are making it. Some people are basically already engraving his name on the
I've
plaque.
got the T already sketched out here, Shark.
I don't know if it's that cut and dry. You could see, Center Grove getting into the regional and their guards having trouble with a team, like Wrights, or him having to go up against somebody like Trey Coleman that could potentially get him into foul trouble. I think he's going to put up some big numbers, but he's also going to have to rely on his teammates a lot for help because he's going to be facing double and triple teams here. I think he's the favorite. I think right after him, you have to go Brandon Newman at Valpo, a kid who's going to put up a lot of big scoring nights, a very good rebounder too. He could very easily average 25 and 10 for a good Valpo team.
Isn't that what he averaged last year, Shark, as a junior?
Just under that, I think, but we're looking at that. You have Isaiah Thompson at Zionsville, a high scoring guard there. You have Armon Franklin at Cathedral, making plays, kind of the all around guard for them.
Looks like Mason Gillis probably out of the running if he's going to miss significant time here.
Yeah, he would be one more that's in there, but obviously his injury is going to hold him back. So I think
Alex Hemingway, he's had a decorated high school career already.
Yeah, it is, for as much as we try to argue for or against it, it is hard for people on the periphery of the state to get as much attention as the Indianapolis area kids do. So I think, that could hurt Hemingway's case, even though he's definitely got the resume to back it up. And then you look at somebody like John Michael Malloy, if he takes Carmel back to the state title and wins, puts up big numbers doing it, can he garner some support and make a run at this? So I think those are probably your top five or six there. Obviously, really all from, the 4A level. We talked about Mason Gillis at Newcastle, but with his injury there. I think those are the front runners, but I think everybody right now is starting out behind Trace Jackson Davis.
Yeah, I think it'll take something very significant to happen for, Brandon Newman, Armand Franklin, Isaiah Thompson. I think not only are they going to have just monster individual seasons, they're going to have their team near the top of the ranking as one of the best teams year long and then make it deep in the tournament. I don't think just the state tournament run will do it. I don't think just being one of the best teams throughout the regular season will do it for those guys. I think they have to be dominant throughout and really, get those attention-grabbing numbers night to night, Shark. And like you're saying, I think Brandon Newman's probably best equipped for that. Because he's going to have to carry a major portion of that offense, even though they do have a pretty good supporting cast. I think it'll be pretty easy for him to get 25 to 30 a game.
Yeah, and Valpo's going to have the team success to back it up. They're going to be a team that, is going to play some tough games. They have Warren Central in the Hall of Fame for their first game. They're playing Zionsville down in Indianapolis, but they're a team that could come into the postseason with maybe only one or two losses, if that. So they should be up at the top of the 4A rankings for most of the year. Carmel's going to be up there as well. I think Jefferson will be up there. Again, though, see.
What percent chance are you giving Trace Jackson Davis to win Mr.
I
Basketball?
would say right now 75 to 80%.
Oh, that seems pretty low there, Shark.
I'm just throwing a number out there. I think there's a lot of other kids in that are deserving of, being mentioned with that, but I think, Trace is a pretty substantial lead, so to speak, at least to start the year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what he's done individually, obviously, unbelievable year last year as a junior, but he produced as a freshman and sophomore as well. And then the team success is there. Barring injury or, he misses a large portion of the season, I think it's Trace Jackson Davis winning the Mr. Basketball Award there, Shark.
I would tend to agree with that entire statement here. Unless something happens to Trace, like you said, with injury, it's pretty difficult to see him not playing well enough to win it, I should say.
All right, let's throw this in there. Let's say Keon would have stayed at Fort Wayne Northside. Who would have been the favorite to win Mr. Basketball then, Shark?
If you keep Keon at Northside, I still there's so many what ifs there with how Northside would look.
Yeah, but look at the success they've already had, getting the state title game his sophomore year, getting to the regional last year.
But my counterpoint to that is how good would Northside be this year? Obviously they'd have him, but they didn't make it out of regionals with him and Austin Boucher and Lucas Croft last year. Would they have had enough team success to the point where that would be enough to overcome a Trace Jackson Davis who could potentially win a state title with Center Grove this year?
Yeah, I would say Keon would have been the favorite entering the season, but obviously a lot would have been determined during the year. Like you said, if one gets further than the other, if one just is more efficient and more dominant during the senior year, that could be a different. If Keon was still in IHSA, I think he would have been the front runner there, Shark.
Yeah, I have no problem. I do think, Keon's had a fantastic high school career so far. I think those two would have far and away been the favorites for Mr. Basketball had Keon stayed, but he's at La Lumiere right now, so we won't have to argue that much more than right here.
No discussion needed there,
It
Shark.
will be
There's
interesting to
one thing,
see.
another thing I just saw. I think Isaiah Thompson's got a pretty good chance of going over 2,000 career points. We had a bunch of guys in that realm last year. I don't think quite as many guys are going to be around 2,000 this year, but Isaiah is one guy who could contend for that. I think he's around 1,500 points already, Shark.
Yeah, he should. He again puts up a lot of points for that Zionsville group. I think 2,000's well within reach for him.
All right, Shark. We've gone pretty long here. Let's just go ahead and wrap up our first podcast of the year. You're going to have a lot to talk about this year with so many talented teams and so much parity, it seems, across the board.
Yeah, you know, a lot of great storylines here. You know, we were picking the best teams in each class. It's a lot of tough deliberation. A lot of good teams we didn't pick as those we thought had really good chances. They could definitely sneak up and do some damage in March. That's why they play the game, Trevor.
We got just under 4 months from the state title game here, Sharks. So let's get after it.
There we go.